Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. I'm your host, Jay Williams. Joining me today is Jeff Clossy.
Hey, Jay. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Awesome, man. Good to be with you. How are you?
I am doing great. I walked in and Leslie made pumpkin bars for my birthday.
That's awesome. I'm excited
for
you.
Why'd you just roll your eyes, Jeff?
I thought you were going to turn the pumpkin bars into some sort of bludgeon.
Why?
To give me.
Why would I do that? I don't know. Are you saying, why would you feel that way? Was that because, do you feel guilty about anything?
No, something else that someone said.
Okay.
That is exciting though.
It is exciting. I was like, what are these for? And she said, for your birthday. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh. I said, where's everybody else's gifts? And
oh, maybe that's what I was thinking of. Thanks for refreshing my memory.
There wasn't any from anyone else. It's fine.
It is fine.
It's fine. I'm fine.
It's birthday week. Birthday week at the office. We all know that's
office.
Like, yeah. No, I was trying to refer to something else.
No, I know. I was saying like, that's why we were, I always wanted to do a mockumentary called The Church Office.
Yeah, we
the
could
office,
do it.
Church edition. You know, they have
despite what you just did to me there, I really am glad to be here with you.
I didn't do anything. It's not about what I did to you, Jeff. It's about what you didn't do for me.
Uh-huh.
That's what it's about.
The pumpkin bars I'm making for you are coming.
In fairness, today is not even my birthday.
Yeah, that is fair.
It is, but it is Tuesday, which is the day we're all definitely here and meet. And so when there is a birthday that week, it is customary that we acknowledge it in some way. In any way.
Happy birthday, Jay.
Oh, stop. You didn't have to say that. You didn't have to do that. I love that people who don't, if they don't know me, they could think this is real.
We should clarify.
I guess I should.
I thought for sure that you were going to start talking about sports this morning.
Why?
Just because of all the sporting things going on right now.
The sporting things?
Yeah. I'm being vague
the way you
seeing which one you're gonna pick.
That makes you sound like the least sports interested person ever.
Well, there's a lot of
the sporting,
there's a lot of sporting events going on,
athletic competitions going on, this feats of strength and bouts of endurance.
Uh-huh. And some teams are having such an amazing streak here, and
I don't know what streak are you talking about.
I don't know,
the NFL just started.
It did.
This is the worst opening.
That's one
far.
Of the sports going on right now.
It was a big weekend for that.
It was.
We're in Packerland.
Wasn't that going to be our other podcast?
Yeah,
too?
The MLB, yeah. MLS Weekly.
Uh huh.
Yep.
Which I haven't checked on that for a while.
What, the MLB or the MLS?
I have checked on the MLB.
Well,
go Brewers.
Nobody cares.
Yes, they do.
People up here don't care about the Brewers.
Kevin's listening.
Till they're winning. There are a few. I know a few Brewers fans up here who care about the Brewers the whole year.
Yes.
And that they, but most people don't pay attention. And I get it, because this is definitely Packers era. You know, so the Brewers come on the scene and it's like, okay, when baseball is exciting at the beginning or whatever, and then it kind of peters out. And let's face it, the Brewers are, I mean, lately they've been good. But by the time baseball really heats up, the Packers have started playing.
Ever since I lived in Milwaukee, I've like just loved them. Because when you live in the city where they play, it's
sure.
So fun.
Oh,
so you
yeah.
can just go in the middle of the day and
yep.
get out of work and have fun. And
oh.
I love them.
It must be nice to get out of work.
Yeah, it was.
All right. Speaking of getting out of work.
Hospitality. So we're in Hebrews chapter 13. And Jay, you mentioned that you and I had a conversation last week about, hey, how many sermons is this going to be? This like next section here, where there's a lot of quick imperatives, right? They're like instructions. And I'm just so thankful that you landed where you did on breaking this into more than one. There's just so much here. And I think Sunday was a good example. When you start talking about hospitality, there's so much for us to think through, especially to make it like fit with our context and our, like even our little place in Wisconsin. In the UP here, like it needs to be contextualized. So could we just start again this podcast by, again, reframing, could you unpack for us a bit again, like when we read hospitality here, how should we hear that? And how do we contextualize that for our moment in time and our little place up here?
Sure. So the issue here with this and where I took a little bit of liberty with the text is that we know specifically the first thing on the mind of the author is welcoming other Christians who are strangers traveling through. And we have to remember, again, I mentioned this, that there aren't Holiday Inns everywhere as they go from town to town. Like, you were dependent. If you were traveling, you were dependent on the hospitality of people because there's no other place to stay. You might travel through and you could sleep outdoors and you know, if you had money, you could still buy food as you came through. But hospitality was critical in this culture. And one thing that I didn't really get to mention in the message was really going down that path and how I alluded to it. But I think one of the reasons why it was instructed so heavily and was such a critical thing was because they would have understood that hospitality was important, but we have to remember the church is now a meshing of all these ethnicities of people from different customs, different cultures, sometimes different languages, who are now formed together as a family. Many of them gave up, like are now outcast to their own family, to their own culture, because they're following this Jesus, this Messiah. And so it was all the more important, you know, kind of like when we think of Acts 6, when the deacons are appointed, and that the Hellenist widows were not getting food. Like, now all of a sudden, that's really critical that they're like, well, they're our responsibility. And that would not have been the first instinct of a Jewish believer early on. They wouldn't have thought about that specifically because the Greeks had never been their problem, so to speak. They'd never been their issue. And now all of a sudden, that was happening. So now imagine you are a Jewish Christian in some village, and a Greek traveler comes through, or a Roman, you know, a Roman citizen, someone who's non-Jewish, and they're a follower of Jesus. Like, would you welcome them into your home? Well, for generations, they wouldn't have. They wouldn't have welcomed the Greek into their home like that and eaten with them. But now, all of a sudden, they needed to. And so, that is a specific biblical context that I don't know that we don't really have a parallel for that, I don't think, except to say that all of us would gladly welcome in, well, I shouldn't say all of us, but I think most people would gladly welcome in relatives. So like if you knew you had a third cousin coming through and, you know, like, and your dad said, hey, Jeff, you know, I know you've never met, you know, cousin Bill, but he's coming through and he needs a place to stay, you would say like, absolutely. You know, because even if you didn't know them, you knew others who knew them, and so they're family. And so, yeah, of course. And we should have that posture towards Christians. And I think by and large, we get that. Like if a missionary is visiting, if we had word that a missionary was in town and visiting or whatever, we would have people who would offer to, you know, take them out for dinner, offer to host them in their home. Like those things would happen. And so that is the kind of first part about it. Like when we talk about meaning in scripture, there's typically a very specific meaning of like, well, this is what this was specifically addressing here, but that's not the only thing that it means then. Like, you know, there's sometimes principles, sometimes the root of why of what's going on there, that then when you look in a different situation, what would be the case? Does that make sense of like, it just makes it so application of scripture sometimes is a little, sometimes it's nuanced because what's being commanded, it's not about the thing that they're doing. It's about the heart that's going on behind it. You know, an easy example would be hospitality then definitely looked like opening up your home, feeding people, doing whatever. Well, that could look differently here. It might mean buying somebody gas as they're passing through. It might mean giving them a gift card to a restaurant down the road. Like there's a lot of things that it might look like because our world is very different.
Yeah. And I think that's why it's helpful to, you know, wrap our mind around when they receive this, you know, like big sermon here in Hebrews, what would they have been experiencing that was different, and why would they need to be told that? And I love how you unpack that. Like, I was even just thinking for them, like, as these cultures start mixing, even the different foods that different people might have been allowed to eat, right? Like, depending on your spiritual background, your religious background, your cultural background, they would have had to just work through this. Like, how do you do this? And for us, one of the things I really appreciated that you unpacked was that when we think about hospitality in our day, of course the home needs to come to our mind, like our home, but it's not just about a location. You know, it makes me think a little bit about when Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. And then the response was, well, who's my neighbor? And the point is, yes, of course it is the people right next door, but it's not just the people right next door. So hospitality, yeah, it is about your home. It's about the place you live and do your life. But it's not just about that, because it gets at the heart and the attitude and the motivation underneath all of that. And there's such a contrast here. You mentioned Philadelphia, right? That keep on loving one another is the Philadelphia, as brothers and sisters. And right after that instruction is given, he moves from that inner circle, the loving one another as brothers and sisters, to don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. So that's like people out there who may, they're not going to feel like they belong. And I think that, to me, that idea, and you unpack that on Sunday, is so important for us, that we are insiders with each other. And part of the way we love our friends and people that we don't know around us is to do what we are able to do, whatever context we're in. Say we're, like, for me, often it's like on the sideline of a game, you know, a soccer game or a tennis match or whatever. When I meet someone that I don't know, I believe my call in that moment is to be hospitable to them, even though we're not in my home. And part of what that means is that I want to make that person feel like they are inside with me, like we both belong here together. And I will do what I'm able to do to make them feel that. And I have no control with the outcome. Some people aren't going to want to, you know, they don't want to belong to what they don't want to interact with you. But a lot of people really do, in my experience here in the place that we live. So I liked, that was the part that really struck me. And I'm really glad you went there, that it's beyond physical location. It includes physical location, but it's also beyond that. It includes the places that we end up in, you know, wherever it is.
Right. And it's not, like you said, it's not about the home and it's not about the place. It's about making other people who feel on the outside feel on the inside. And I just, even as you're saying that, I'm thinking of other passages that I could have used in ways of breaking that down, like, and how hospitality is intertwined so frequently. So I think about when Paul is chastising the church in Corinth about how they do communion, and talking about how the wealthy people were coming with their feasts and were getting drunk. And he's basically like, don't you have homes? Like, you're eating this in front of people. You're making the people who don't have very much feel like they don't belong. And so what would it look like to make them feel like they belong? And I think, I think about the meat sacrificed to idols. What Paul says, when you go and you don't refuse, like if it's served, if a person just serves you meat, don't refuse it. Why? Because you're receiving hospitality and giving hospitality are two sides of the same coin, right? Like if someone invited you over to their house and they serve you something that you don't eat or you don't like or whatever, you say that and you handle it in that way, it can make them feel like there's this disconnect. It's embarrassing. It's not hospitable. Now, that doesn't mean you have to, you know, if you are allergic to something, you don't have to eat it and hope that you don't go into anaphylactic shock. Like, that's not what I'm talking about at all. But the bent is, how do I see this person across from me, and how do I make them feel like, they're on the inside. I just saw Lauren do that this morning. Like, the person was late, or they weren't late. They were kind of frazzled and they were kind of bringing stuff up or whatever. And I heard Lauren say, basically identifying with that of, oh man, for me, it's always like at the last minute, these things happen and they go, it's going to be, if this is going to go wrong, it's going to be right when I have something else to do or whatever. But what she's doing that moment is identifying and making her feel like where she was probably feeling a little uncomfortable, like she didn't have her stuff together or whatever. And Lauren was letting her know like, no, that's normal. And that's part of what hospitality is to make someone feel like they're not out of place. Whether what makes them feel out of place is whether they eat meat or not in the New Testament in scripture, or that they are late. You know, I do that on Sunday mornings here. Like I like to be out there when people are coming late, because when you come late to church, there's just like a feeling a lot of times of like embarrassment almost. And I just want them to know you're not alone in that. Like that's not weird. Like we have lots of people that come late. And I always think, honestly, the first thought that comes to my mind when people are really late, like we've had people come like really late. The first thing that comes to my mind is I'm so impressed that you still came. Honestly. Cause like I have been late to things before where I'm like, you know what? I'm just not even gonna bother at this point. Like it's embarrassing and like, I'm so impressed that they come and I want them to know like that's better. And sometimes people are late because they have work or they have things that have happened or whatever. And the fact that they still come to take communion with us or to connect with people or whatever, like that's so awesome. But the point being that there are all kinds of reasons why a person would feel like I don't belong here or I'm doing something wrong. And hospitality is this all-inclusive. I mean, in some ways, showing hospitality is a little bit like saying love your neighbor.
That's what's going through my mind. Yep. Is what you're describing with those examples even is just love.
Yeah.
It's seeing people.
It's just the kind of love that specifically sees a person who feels out of place and making them feel like they are at home. Mm-hmm. Right? And so it's just all encompassing. I'm thinking of it's just hard to define love. It's hard to define hospitality. And we get into trouble when we do and we say, oh, it's about having people to your home and entertaining them. And which is why a lot of people reject hospitality. They just don't even think about it because they think it's that. And they think like, well, I can't do that. And yep. But you can.
Yeah. It's interesting as you're describing that, Jay. This one does involve a home, but one of the pretty unique experiences I had, this is years ago now, but I got to take a trip to Moldova to visit a student I had met when we were serving in Wisconsin Dells one summer. And Moldova is in Eastern Europe, right next to Ukraine, and very different than here, obviously. And the person I was visiting was taking me to a village of one of his friend's houses, like literally a village, like, you know, a bucket to get water out of you crank it down into a well kind of situation. So rural. And when I arrived at the house, his friend's mother met me at the door and had all these traditional Moldovan things that they greeted me with and explained what they were doing so that I felt super welcome. Mm-hmm. And it was quite over the top because it was such a unique experience. And they knew it was for me and it was for them. They don't get Americans visiting their village much either. But that example to me, yeah, you could have done that in the home, but they could have done it anywhere. They just knew I would have no idea of what their customs were to receive people. And they showered me with blessing. It was like, I just felt super honored and I felt super loved. And so that made me feel very comfortable. Even when I was like, that food looks really different than what I'm used to, you know, like, and that's the moment where then I'm hospitable and I'm going to try it, even if it looks different than what I'm used to. Right. Because I want to honor them and honor their love for me in that moment. Anyways, that was just popping in my head. I hadn't thought of that experience for years. But it also involved joking around and it involved just making me feel welcomed, you know, as one of the people that lives in the village. Essentially, we walked through the village and met people, and it was an amazing experience. And I think if we can translate that into our everyday life, you know, we can tell when a person is new to whatever that, you know, whether they're new here at church or whether they're new at a sporting event or whether they're whatever, we can tell. And it makes me think that we've talked about this before, but why it's so difficult to love well when we're in a hurry, mm-hmm. You know, like you have to slow down enough to be observant to be able to see this person looks like they might need some help or they look like they might need a welcome in. And, you know, I think sometimes the reason we don't take this step in that moment to do that is it can be overwhelming. Like, what do I say? What should I do? And we do overthink it. I really think so much of following Jesus is simple, not easy, but it actually is simple. And sometimes it's just as simple as saying, hey, my name is, I don't think I've met you before. And just start there. That's a way of being hospitable. Whether it's on a Sunday morning, and you mentioned that, did this come out on Sunday? Or am I remembering this falsely? Like about, like when I meet someone, like even reminding them, here's my name. I think you might've said that.
I did. I said, introduce yourself a lot.
Yeah. Because we're human beings and we forget, and no one wants to forget someone's name. And so I think that even that, if we know, like I met this person, but they might not remember me, it's been a while, like whatever the context, it's so loving to say, hey, I'm Jeff. Remember we met? And that's just puts them in a place of not feeling like, oh shoot, you know?
Yeah. Right away. I think that we're so fixated on ourselves. We're so fixated on whether I feel welcome, whether I feel comfortable or whatever. And that's part of what I was trying to get at too, of saying, even if you are the stranger, you are still at home in Christ. And so you can welcome people in that way. But like, yeah, we kind of psych ourselves out and we think, oh, it's stupid, or they don't need me to talk to them or whatever. And you know, in my experience, part of ministry is being willing to look foolish. I'll give you an example. Years ago, I worked at Saddleback Church, which 20,000 people, huge church. Were you going to say something about it?
I was going to say that little church down the road. Church
huge church, famous pastor, like all the things or whatever. And we had an intern that started, a summer intern that started. And he seemed like nobody really was talking to him much. And so his first day, like I just started talking to him, asking him about his life, you know, and just thinking, man, I remember what it was like to start here. And this must be, this could feel, you feel really out of sorts. It could feel really overwhelming. So I just, you know, was talking to him, and we actually had a big staff meeting that was going on, like a whole church staff meeting. So hundreds of people at this thing. And we're walking up to where this meeting was taking place, and I'm just talking to him. And he said that he, you know, he'd actually grown up at the church, but like, you know, this was his first time doing like staff ministry or whatever. So we're talking. Well, we sit down at this table, and Rick Warren's wife, Kay, so the pastor's wife, walks over to our table, and I'd never had a conversation with her, walks over to our table and like sees this new guy and gives him this big hug and kisses him on the cheek. And I was like, what? That was not my greeting, like on my first day or whatever. It turns out that he was their nephew. And like, and so I felt so dumb. Like I felt so dumb because I was like, well, he didn't need to be welcomed. He's like, I just didn't realize he was in the royal family, right? Like it felt so silly. But it wasn't. And he, like, it was delightful to him that we had like this interaction, and we're still good friends. Like he didn't, because he knew I didn't know who he was and that I was just like connecting with him. There was that moment of genuine, like just authenticity. And so the point being is like, even if a person, like what's the worst case scenario? You go to like introduce yourself and welcome somebody that you haven't met before. And then you find out that, oh, they're actually the boss's, you know, son, or the head coach's, like whatever, who cares? Like worst case scenario, you're like, oh, I guess they didn't, you know, they probably felt fine. Well, good. But way better to err on that side. And so like those places, like I think about that every year when a new sports season starts. There's new people on the team, which means there are new parents on the team who don't know, who kind of, don't they probably think like, oh, all the other parents, because our instinct is, well, all the other parents are probably connecting, all the other people at work, they all have their friends, they all have their, and again, it's that fixation on ourselves. And our desire, I'll kind of wrap up this point with this, that our desire to be welcomed is a good desire. But the point is that when our cup is full with Christ, like when we've been welcomed by him, then our need for that is satisfied, and that frees me to welcome others. If I'm not if I don't have my cup filled by Christ, if I don't feel welcomed by him where I feel at home in him, then yes, I am going to be looking, thinking about how I'm welcomed in any given place. And that for me has been such a big deal. Like when I'm kind of looking around feeling like, well, I feel like I'm kind of the outcast or whatever. My next question is, okay, well, how's my intimacy with Christ? Like, do I really feel welcomed and secure in him? And usually when I do, then my perspective totally changes. And now I'm not looking at who I feel excluded by. I'm looking at who needs to feel included.
Yeah. It's interesting how when our soul is satisfied in Jesus, we become more self-forgetful, right? And we're just not as aware of our own need, because he is meeting our needs. And I don't know that we can be hospitable the way he has designed us to unless we're at that place, you know, of experiencing his abundance. And it doesn't mean that we don't have moments of feeling like, wow, I feel empty. But I do think that can be a really important moment where we ask, like, Jesus, you know, I want to love you. I want to enjoy you. I want to be filled up with you. Just this morning I was reading in, I think it was John 7, and he was talking about anyone who's thirsty, come to me, you know, and I will give you drink. And then he talks about these rivers of living water that will flow out of you, which was his spirit. And that is the picture of what a flourishing disciple is meant to be. And the challenge is to walk with him in that and to experience. I mean, we all have these ups and downs. And you mentioned too, I think one of the reasons that we struggle with this is often we feel like the outsider. So we feel like, well, how can I be welcoming to people in my life when I feel like I'm the one who needs to be welcomed, you know? And that's such a challenging thing. It's a mindset. It doesn't necessarily reflect a reality, right? It's a mindset and an attitude. And if that's the place we live from all the time, it will be like really difficult to welcome people. I mean, what would you add to that? I mean, that was a really important point I thought you drew out there.
Yeah, I think that's the whole thing about hospitality. When hospitality is about, like Paul talks about, seeking not only your own interests, but the interests of others. Also like counting others as more significant. So if you are fixated on how you are being welcomed or not being welcomed, then you won't be able to welcome others. You just won't. And that's, you know, when Paul talks about meat sacrifice to idols, it's a similar concept. Like, You're fixated on yourself, and stop being fixated on yourself. The question is, what is loving to your brother or sister, and what is like to, so do that honoring God. Like the question is, what is pleasing to God in this moment, and what is loving to my neighbor? It's like you said earlier, it's simple. It's not easy all the time, but if you really think about it, if I'm walking into a room, what does God want me thinking about? Does he want me thinking about like, okay, I'm going to walk into this room and I want to see who's going to talk to me? Or if Jesus was standing, like, is that what, do you think if Jesus is walking into that room with you, like if he's in the flesh and walking in the room, like what do you think his demeanor is going to be? Does he walk into a room going like, well, people don't probably want to talk to me. I'm just gonna like sit over here in the corner and see if somebody comes and talks to me. Like, or do you think he's going to immediately lock in on the person who needs to be welcomed the most, the person who's sitting by themselves, the person who looks the most disconnected? But our instinct is to walk into a room and see who looks like they have the most connection and then put on them like welcoming me in. Does that make sense? Yep. Like I walk into a room and if there's a group of friends over here talking, then immediately I feel like, well, I'm excluded. And I could be looking past dozens of people who look like they need to be welcomed. And so, I mean, imagine going into a party, like a graduation party, and there's a table that's full. And imagine there's like 10 round tables. And there's one table that's full. And people are talking and laughing and having this great time. And then at each other table, there's one person at each one of those other tables. Our instinct is to walk in there and immediately feel excluded by that group that's laughing and having a good time at this full table. And that's not, it's not a negative about them. Like God, I think if Jesus is walking in there with it, he wouldn't be like, oh, look at that table. They're laughing and having a good time. He wouldn't bother him at all. He would look around and see, look at these other people. There's 9 people at these other tables that are by themselves, who maybe look like they might feel a little out of place. And I've had that experience before where you go in, like I mentioned at grad parties and how awkward they can be when you only know the graduate. But there's always other people who also only know, like, and you can tell. And so I've had some of the best conversations at graduation parties when I find the person that I'm like, you know, and it's not a hard question. Oh, how do you know the graduate? And, you know, if they say, oh, I'm his aunt, I'm his uncle or whatever, then you're like, okay, well, you're probably pretty connected. But you'll also find like, oh, I was his second grade teacher. And I was, oh, do you know a lot of people here? No, I don't know anybody here. Oh, me either. Like, and mm-hmm. It can be this incredible. So even when you are an outsider, you're able to welcome people.
Yeah, it's really true. I've shared this before in a sermon, but it was my mid-20s in Milwaukee, the pastor at our church gave a sermon and he just gave that illustration. Like the 2 ways of walking into a room, you know, one is you walk into the room seeking comfort, seeking belonging. So you find like the people you know, or the people who can welcome you and you go to them, or you walk into the room thinking who in here needs that? Who in here is like totally feeling like an alien that I can love. And it's just interesting. I love the thought experiment that you did there. Like what would Jesus be like walking into a room like that? And we know based on what we see in the Gospels that he was attracted towards and moved towards people he knew had great need for connection, for love, for him. And I do believe that's what he designs us for as we follow him, is to be that, to be his body that still does that in the world today. The great thing here too is that I don't think anything that was said on Sunday would have been like shocking to anyone. And I think that we are in a church family with other people who want to do that, which is amazing. So even better than just by yourself walking into the room, right, and wondering who can we love, you can actually do that with other people together. Like, who can we find in this room? On a Sunday morning is a good example, an easy one for our context, but that can be anywhere, right? It can be at a sporting event that you're with other people. Who can we welcome in to this place together? And that's even, I think, more fun and life-giving.
It's so fun. I've given that personal coaching to people before at our church, and they respond well to it. That our instinct at church often, I didn't mention this example, but as soon as the service is done, our instinct is to turn around and look for the people that we know, and we start talking to them. Kind of like what you're saying, the pastor said, you walk into a room and you're looking for the people that will make you feel at home, make you feel welcome, make you feel like you belong or are in. And so one way of dealing with that is to tell those friends, hey, let's, the first 5 minutes after the service, let's not talk to each other. Let's go find other people. Because it's true, we see it every Sunday, that people who feel the most disconnected leave the fastest. This is the great irony, that we can't get to them to necessarily welcome them. Now, sometimes, often I would say even, our church has knocked it out of the park. Like there are people that I'm like, oh my goodness, I got to get to them. And they've already talked to several people and it's awesome. And I love that. It doesn't always happen, but it happens a lot. And I'm so thankful for that. And that's important. So that's one thing you can do, is you can just say, hey, we're all going to be here in another 5 minutes. I did that on Sunday with somebody that started to talk to me about something. I said, you're going to be here in another 5 minutes. Oh yeah, probably. I'm like, okay, let me talk to you in another 5 minutes. Let me get around and connect with some people that I think might be a little faster to get out, because they feel disconnected. They feel like they're newer. But another way to do it is just what you're saying, is you can also just say, hey, how about we go together? Like, let's go talk, let's make sure. And you can start with people in your section. You know, it's not hard to identify the person who either immediately, like, they pack up their stuff and then they bolt, or they kind of look around or whatever. They either don't know where to go, or they're like making a beeline for, you know, the exits or whatever. And it's okay in your section to just kind of take inventory. you know, when you're standing there at the benediction, just, you know, look around and see, okay, is there somebody that I need to make sure that I want to go and say hi to them. And then like, as if you're sitting with other friends, you know, welcome them into that conversation. And like I said, that happens a lot. We just want to do it more and more.
Yeah. And I think if you feel like you're not sure what to say in those moments, having a friend with you is super helpful.
Yeah.
You know, because it, like, say there's three people then in the conversation, it is more natural, I think, often to have more than just two people interacting and asking questions and listening well. And, you know, Sunday morning is it's interesting how you can err on making that the only time we have hospitality in our mind, but you can also err and like just overlook it. And that's why we're talking about it, because it is a really important couple hours where we are all together. And for many people, it's their only shot at receiving what we're talking about today.
It's the softball. It's the easy. That's why I started with it. Cause I was like, let's start where it's easiest. If you are in Christ and you are a part of our church family, then this is home to you, and you're with a whole bunch of other people who share in that responsibility. So it is the easiest environment, and it should be. And then you build out from there. You go out from there. And so I would say, starting with places where you do feel very secure, start there. But then as you start doing that, you'll begin to feel, again, in Christ, secure everywhere. And once you're able to start welcoming people and have eyes to do that, it's actually really fun. Like, it gives you, I mean, if you've ever gone to somewhere where you're like, what am I going to do? Who am I going to talk to? Well, once you start getting into a habit of this, I'm going to find the person who looks to be the most disconnected, and I'm going to welcome them. Well, then you have something to do, right? You have somebody, you have people to talk to. And I've never been to anything where that wasn't the case, where there wasn't people who look like they're not really sure where to go, what to do, who to talk to. And it's just it's a great way. It's a great thing to just kind of have in your mind, and a great opportunity to see God working. And sometimes the conversations, like, I've had plenty of conversations that are pretty limited and they get over pretty quickly and the person just kind of leaves, you know, and I'm like, oh boy, they probably thought I was weird. Okay. Like, that's okay. It's way better that, like I said on Sunday, if somebody says, oh, I'm not going back to that church, too many people talk to me, mm-hmm. and they were kind of weird with how friendly they were being. Okay. I'll receive that.
Yeah. Great problem.
Yeah. Let's run that risk. Let's run that risk over the others. What do you do, Jeff? Like, one other thing that I thought would be important to talk about, and this is where this hard line, or, well, not hard, a fine line, it's a difficult one to discern, is we walk a fine line every week that we want everyone to feel welcome, but that's not the same thing as them necessarily feeling at home. Like, if a person has not confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, if they are not in Christ, they're not in the family. They are like a welcomed guest in our home, basically. How do we walk that line? Like, how do we, you know, and we try to do it. We could talk about some of the things we do on Sunday that we try to model that. But like, that is an important thing, that I want people to feel welcome at church, for example, but I don't want to give them the false impression that because they're coming to church, that means that they're in the body of Christ, because they're not. There's a theological reality there. And I think a lot of disservice has been done in the church over the years of making so desiring for people to feel welcome and to feel at home that we gloss over the fact that no, actually, what makes us at home is Christ. So you saw that in some church movements where they would go to not really talking about sin, not really talking about, you know, even professing Christ. It's just, we're a community of faith. And so it becomes very generic, because we don't want anybody to, like, the motivation, I think, is good in the sense of, I don't want anyone to feel out of place, but there's a reality that there are going to be some things that where they're just out of place. Like in Moldova, they can welcome you as much, but you don't speak the language still. Mm-hmm. You're not a citizen there. So there's, so how do we walk that line?
That's a really good question. I mean, the first thing that's coming to my mind is people know that I often introduce communion, and there's a moment there where even from the front, we're calling that out. And I'm trying in my mind in that moment, I'm like, how do I say the Lord's Supper is for the Lord's people who follow him in faith in the most loving, welcoming way I can, but also make it really clear. And for me, I think that's one of the, like, in my mind, that's an example way of, like, obviously we don't walk up to people and do that in a conversation. We're not asking them in that moment, like, the binary question, are you in or out? But I do think it does highlight that our conversations, like Jesus said, seasoned with salt. And I do think part of that is that the content of our conversation with a person, especially over multiple weeks, like, hopefully we can meet a person and then we talk to them again, ought to include the way we're following Jesus in some way. And it ought to include things like, how can I pray for you? And so as we do that, I do believe we start to get to know a person's spiritual life and their walk with Jesus. So what I'm saying is, yes, the conversations with people might start pretty casually, like you and I do when we start the podcast. But at some point, we do need to move into areas that are actually really important. You know, and asking a question like, so what brings you here today? You know, I think that's one of the easiest ones. Or how did you find us? And yeah, what brought you here today? And is there anything we can help you with in that? You know, depending on what they say. You have some good questions that you ask too, I know. Usually it does involve us asking questions.
Yes.
I think that is a key thing. It's not that we're going to go up to someone and just start talking. We usually do ask a lot of questions. In a loving way, not in an interrogating way.
Maybe for you.
Where are you from and what brought you here?
How did you find out about us? And you're, so we do model this a lot on Sunday morning. So hopefully people will see that. You know, an example is, you mentioned communion. That's a big example. We know it's a very insider thing that we are doing. And one of the ways to make people feel welcome but they know that they're not fully inside is you're welcoming them and acknowledging them, right? Like imagine you go over to someone's house for dinner and it's understood that you don't live there, but they are welcoming you in and you know, you're sitting at the table with them and you feel like, okay, everybody knows I don't live at this house, but they want me here. Now, if you invited me over to your house for dinner, and then when everybody leaves, I still stay there. And then then you find me in your bathroom using your toothbrush, you know, like, okay, hey, we were hospitable. Like we wanted you over, but you need to go home, you know? And so there is like, we get that in the world of like making people feel welcome and the difference between family and a welcomed guest. And so during communion, we want people to know, like, it's an important time to articulate. We know we're about to do this very insider thing for followers of Jesus. And that's critical for us to do. But what we want to do is also acknowledge that you're here, that this isn't weird. You're not like some kind of, you're not like, oh no, if they find out that I'm not, you know, a believer. And so sometimes what I'll do during that time is I just kind of walk around and I'll notice when people don't come up and take communion, and I'll often take that opportunity to just kind of, you know, slide in next to them or whatever and welcome them, greet them so that they know, like, it's kind of this, hey, you know, and I know, like we both know that I'm not a believer this is not my church home. And that's okay. Like, I'm so glad that you're here. And so that's part of it. I think you're right. Like asking questions about so what brought you here today? That's a really easy question to ask. I often ask people, do you recognize? So sometimes, you know, we're in a small town, so they're probably going to recognize people. Do you recognize other people? Like, oh yeah, I know, I work with so-and-so. That can start to provide some connections and some background information that just, again, makes people feel you're not interrogating. Nobody wants to be interrogated, but people like to share about their lives, right? And what's really important for us to remember right now is we have a lot of people moving into the area. Probably, I don't know, it's more than historically has been the case, but with, you know, with the shipyard and with the hospital and with their, like, we have a lot of people moving into the area who don't have deep rooted connections here. And remembering, and there, and I know we have a lot of people in our church who have grown up here and generations are from here. And so you may not know what it's like to live in an area where you don't, you know, where you didn't, your parents didn't go to school with everybody and that you don't know everybody from since you were a little kid. That can be a really scary environment. And it's hard to feel like you're, you know, you're inside. So it's really critical right now. And I mentioned people that don't even share the same language. And so I'm a little bit off on a tangent, but it's just an opportunity that we have. But then in the church, we have a responsibility, and Jesus does this. So you look at the example of Jesus. Jesus welcomes people in at where they, you know, kind of the place where he can meet them, right? Like he welcomes them into that space where he meets them, and then he calls them to something deeper. And some people follow him, and a lot of people don't. He also talks a lot about people who are in the kingdom versus people who are not in the kingdom. And so it is a theological reality that not everyone wants to be welcomed into the kingdom. And so you can't, we don't do anybody any favors by redrawing the lines, you know, so that if somebody says like they don't want to be in the kingdom, they don't want to be in Christ, like, okay, well then we understand that there's a difference there. And we want to, as a church, communicate that to say like, hey, you are so welcome here. If you're like, you hear us talk about all the time, if you are seeking Jesus or you're asking questions or you don't know what you believe, it is normal and good for you to be here, and you are wanted here. And we want to help you understand everything that we can. And we're going to, that's why we do things like we put up signs so that people know where bathrooms are and they know where they check their kids in, and that we have the worship guide so that they can kind of follow along and they have something to read. And we put scripture up on the screens, you know, because we don't assume that everybody knows how to look things up in the Bible. And so we do all of those things, but we also do things like communion, and we sing worship songs to God that a non-believer would not be able to sing with. I mean, they can sing them, but they wouldn't. It's not the same thing. It's not worship. We preach sermons that are aimed at believers. Like, that's something I think a lot of people don't realize. We all preach sermons to followers of Jesus, aware that there are non-followers of Jesus in the crowd, right? So I'm going to be aware. I don't want to only use insider language, but I also am okay that a non-believer wouldn't understand everything that I'm saying because they don't have a frame of reference for it, or they don't have the Holy Spirit. And that's okay to me too. So hospitality doesn't mean changing everything so that a person is fooled into thinking that they are actually at home. It is to welcome them and to make them feel like they're wanted and welcomed where they are. And I think that's really, when you get down to the core of hospitality, it's just that. It's just seeing the person who feels like they don't belong and making them feel like they do belong. And to do that, you don't have to make them feel like they're somebody that they're not. Right? Like when you were in Moldova, the welcoming you didn't mean fooling you into thinking that you were a Moldovan citizen. It was very clear that you weren't.
Yep.
And you knew it and they knew it, but they made you feel like that's okay. Like, you are welcome here. It's okay. It's good that you're here. We're glad that you're here. That's at the core. That's hospitality.
It is interesting in those examples that you gave too, is I do think sometimes our instinct is to shy away from interacting in the very moment we most need to. So like, I think for some people, like, oh, that person didn't go up for communion. You're describing like seeing that and then pursuing in that moment. And sometimes I think we feel like, man, maybe I shouldn't do that. I don't want to call that out. I don't want to bring attention to that and make them feel weird. But they know, like we know, and we don't feel like we're doing the thing or we're not involved. And that's the moment often where we are most needed, where the hospitality is most necessary, because it lets them know it's okay. We get it. We're glad you're here. And that example specifically just made me think that. And I get that all of our wirings are different. Like not everyone's going to be comfortable in all the same moments. But I do think I want to encourage each one of us to stretch, to get beyond what we might be accustomed to or what feels super comfortable. Again, because of the point you made, that we are at home in Christ. That's why we do it. We don't have anything to prove. The other thing I wrote towards the end of the sermon that I loved too, let me just get it here. You said we're not doing this so that a person is impressed or entertained, but welcome, and they feel welcomed. And that to me is such an important thing too. It's not about them leaving thinking I'm great or that our church is great. It's about them feeling the love of Jesus and the welcome that he gave us, that we received when we came to him, and we can receive it every day as we follow him. I think that's such a huge point.
Which that changes the measurement, right?
Totally.
Like all of a sudden, I'm not worried. I mean, I have in the past worried about that when new people would come to our church and just thinking like, oh, you know, I want them to think that the sermon's good. I want them to think that the music is good. I want them, and that's because that's kind of the world I was trained in. I mean, it was so much more freeing when I started putting my emphasis and interest on, do people feel like they were wanted here, that they came here, and that we were glad that they were here. And that's a way easier bar. It's going to make me way more loving. Like if your aim is to impress a person, that never goes well. Like it just doesn't. And, but if your aim is to welcome them, understanding too that, like I said, everybody likes talking about themselves to some degree. You don't want to be nosy, but giving people opportunity, kind of open-ended opportunities, that makes people feel like, oh, it matters that I'm here. I'm supposed to be here. And yes, you're right. We just all need to be stretched in that. I would encourage people that it doesn't take much. You don't have to get in. You may not be wired to be in a 45-minute conversation like that. Nobody's saying that. Don't underestimate the power of small acts of hospitality. I mean, literally, I can tell you because I have visited other churches, being smiled at is a big deal. Like sitting down in a row, you know, and that goes to anything. Anytime there's seating, that's always a big thing. That's a scary thing because you always wonder, am I taking someone's seat? And then sometimes like there's a coat on a chair or something like that. And so that's definitely something we should be really mindful of. Like I get sometimes you have to save seats for family or whatever, or somebody that's okay, but make it really obvious, like put something there so that it's really obvious. Cause man, that's not so awesome when someone goes to sit down and somebody says, oh, somebody else is already sitting there. You know, by the way, if that happens, just trust that the person that was going to be sitting there would want to be hospitable and say that that's totally fine. Let them sit.
Especially right now. Well, you mentioned it on Sunday, just the fullness, right? We just need to be flexible with that.
We do. We need to just be flexible. And, but smiling at somebody when they sit down in your row is a big deal. Like letting them know, hey, knowing you probably feel weird sitting down here right now, and I just want you to know it's not weird. Like you, that's good that you're sitting there. I'm glad you're sitting there. Those are simple things, you know, that we can do, and it can pave the way then to a conversation afterwards, you know, but like you said, it's so core. And yeah, that's why I wanted to break these apart, because I wouldn't have covered half of what I did, if I'd tried to make it. And that's what I realized more and more as I was really trying to unpack hospitality. And I felt like, man, I can really dig into hospitality here in a way that could be really helpful to our church. Or I can basically do a flyby and decided that we're gonna dig into each one of these.
So, I think that's a good choice. I'm glad we're doing it that way.
Well, good. I was looking for your approval.
Happy birthday.
All right. Well, on that note, as always, let us know if you have any questions or thoughts. You know, what we didn't talk about was realizing, I know that a message like this, it's going to leave some things open. There's probably people who feel like, oh, maybe I should be doing something. Like, understand that, remember that the yoke of Jesus is easy. His burden is light. And so the call to hospitality is a joyful call. And so if you're sitting there feeling like, oh, I'm trying, maybe I should do more, don't worry about those kinds of things. Just be faithful in the next step. Yes, most of us could be stretched a little bit more, but it is about listening to the Spirit and just trusting Him. And no, that doesn't mean your home isn't going to always be open and you're not always going to be able to get across to talk to that person. That's okay. We're the body together and none of us are Jesus. And so just be faithful in the opportunities that you do have and what's in front of you. And if you need help discerning any of that, that's what we're here for, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And hospitality is a critical piece of that ministry. So we hope that, as always, that this has been helpful. We appreciate you taking the time to listen. And until next time, grace and peace.